And welcome back to the Petcash Pod presented by Profluence Sports. I'm your host, Andrew Petcash. You can listen to all the other great conversations with the founders, athletes, investors, and executives at profluence.com/podcast. We had a great guest today in Brendan Winters. He grew up the son of an NBA coach and lived around the United States, eventually working his way to a Division I player at Davidson and then playing overseas for 5 years, mainly in Europe. He then founded Pro Skills Basketball. While during this journey, it started as just a summer camp. They're now in 20 cities across the U.S. We break down with Brendan his fascinating story, how they've built, the interest they're getting now from larger private equity firms looking to get into youth sports, and how they've built in basketball and how he's managed it going strictly straight from sports to entrepreneurship. Great conversation. You'll definitely enjoy this one. I certainly did. Let's dive in. Brendan, appreciate you hopping on today. Let's start with the typical. We've been talking for 15 minutes before, so enough. We had to jump into it. So give us a little bit of your background and, what you're doing at PSB and how you got into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. First of all, I've been following you for a while now. So glad you responded to my email when I wrote you, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or whenever that was, but big fan of what you were doing. I'll try to give you the Cliff Notes version, but, I grew up in a basketball family. My father was a NBA player and coach. So I moved around a ton growing up. I lived in, I think, 8 different cities around, I guess I have to say North America, because my dad was actually the first head coach of the Vancouver Grizzlies, with Big Country Reeves and Sharif Abdurrahim and all them. So I lived in Vancouver for 2 years, but, yeah, so I grew up in a basketball family, went to play basketball at Davidson right before Steph Curry. So I was there from 02 to 06. I guess I had a little part in recruiting Steph to Davidson. I still remember back then my dad was coaching for Golden State while I was at Davidson. So I'd go home to California and people would ask me where I went to college or where I played. I'd say Davidson, and they is that D3? Is that, where yeah. is that? And like, oh, I had to explain it every time, but nowadays you don't really run into that problem with Steph making Davidson's name pretty big. But
how'd you kind of recruit him?
Well, to be fair, it wasn't just me, but right. I was the main guy on our team then, so I know they used my name a lot in his recruitment, saying, hey, we do this, that, and the other thing for guys like Brendan, you can come in. I was a shooter, and look how many screens we run off, and look at the green light he has. And so I think that was pretty helpful for him. Also, they've actually had a good amount of success with sons of pro guys and NBA guys in particular. So I think that was helpful. That McKillop loved to recruit sons of NBA guys or overseas pro guys, which that's why there's a lot of international guys that typically are on Davidson teams. But then after Davidson, I had some NBA workouts. I went to Portsmouth. I played for the Warriors in summer league. Didn't get drafted. Went overseas. I played overseas 5 years. While I was in Germany, I was playing with my Davidson teammate, one of my best friends. We had the same agent, so we ended up in Germany together. And we decided to start up a basketball camp in the Davidson area. He had also come from a basketball family. His dad was a player. Played in the ABA and then played overseas. That's where the name Pro Skills Basketball came from. It was just, hey, we're pros. Let's do a summer camp where we get other pros to work it, college guys to work it, kind of teach those pro skills, so to speak, to the kids. So we took kind of what we learned at Davidson and overseas and brought it back to summer camp. We failed our first year. We were like, we were thinking, hey, like our names will be enough. We played at Davidson. We're only at that point, I think we were 3 years out of school. But man, like we were overseas trying to get the camp up and running. And we just failed. Like we had 0 kids signed up. So we were like, okay, let's get a little more serious about it. We learned, let's do it again. So, the next summer we did it. We only had about 10 or 12 kids, but it went well. We said, all right, let's do it again. Then finally it took off a little bit, gained a little bit of traction, and had 2 weeks of camp next summer. The following summer we had 4, and by that time we were ready to retire. it was, we were making fine money overseas. We were having a good time, but our bodies were breaking down a little bit. It was also like, for those that don't know, it can be a little bit of a grind where you sign one-year contracts for the most part, maybe 2 years if you're lucky. And so every year you're just sitting there in the summer waiting for a new team. And it's just kind of, it gets a little taxing. So some guys do it for 10 years, 15 years. But we also, we weren't making the kind of money we could retire off of. So we were like, all right, let's get the real world started a little bit. We didn't want to end up, you know, being 35, 40 years old and having no work experience, anything like that, no families. And so we both retired. We were like, okay, we got about a year runway. Let's give it a shot full time. We had a Davidson teammate up in the New Jersey area who had the model down and was doing camps, clinics, training year round. We were like, okay, he's doing it. Let's do the same thing here. So we started doing that. Never intended to get into like AAU teams, so to speak. We now call them club teams, but most people know them as AAU teams. But 6 months in, we had this group of, you know, 20 sixth grade boys. We were training them twice a week during the evenings. And their parents came to us and said, hey, like, can you please do AAU teams? And we were like, I don't know. Logan, my co-founder, went to a local game of this girl we were training, and it was just horrendous in terms of the way the coaches were acting, the parents were acting. He always tells his story of like the coach in front of this quiet gym just like screamed at this girl because she missed a shot. And Logan was just like, this is garbage. This is not the way to do it. And so he came back to me and said, yeah, let's do these teams. So we said, okay, we don't know what we're doing, but we called for tryouts. Line was out the door. Next thing you know, we had, you know, five teams or so. And what we figured is we could take our values and wrap and our, and even just our programming, our skill development, our clinics, our camps, our training, our just generally skill development, and wrap that into the team model because that's what the kids wanted. The parents wanted the game. So we said, okay, but we're going to do it different. No parent coaches. We're going to hire our coaches. We're going to practice twice a week. We're not going to travel the country trying to win, you know, fourth grade national championships. We're going to stay local. We'll play every other weekend. So we're not going to play every weekend. And that model just really took off. And from there, I had a guy I grew up with in Denver, Colorado, one of my best friends. He was playing in Spain and he was about ready to retire. So I said, hey, come to Charlotte. We've been doing this for a year. We need some help. He came. He liked it. And then after a year was like, hey, can I take this back to Denver, Colorado and do it there? And we were like, yeah, yeah, go. And he started doing it there. It started working. And from there, we were like, oh, I think we have something here. Our model is working in another city that's very unlike Charlotte. So now who else do we know? What other pros do we know that are done playing that might want to do this? And that's when we started expanding, and today we're in 20 cities and pretty actively expanding into other cities. And it's all really based around what we call club teams.
That's awesome. Yeah. And when you expand to a new city, obviously the Denver one, that was easy because you had a friend, someone you trusted. We were talking a little bit earlier, but you're expanding to Pittsburgh now, which is where I grew up and played basketball. What do you do to, number one, identify markets? But then when you say we're going to jump in, how do you find the right people? And what does it look like going from zero to one, as you were saying?
Yeah, that's the hardest part, is finding the right person, because it's not what we figured out. I mean, and it was a lot of trial and error. We have not been perfect. We have failed, just like we failed in our first summer camp. We have failed and not hired the right person, or you know, and it's always been a great person, a good guy that we like, that always has good experience coaching wise, basketball wise. That's just kind of like the table stakes, is be a good person, have good basketball experience. But that doesn't necessarily translate to being maybe like a good entrepreneur, someone with sales, someone that's willing to get out and talk to people, someone that's willing to fail and then just keep going, or, you know, kind of maybe change course if that's not the right course. But that is the hardest thing. We still have not figured it out. I think we're closer to having figured it out, but I don't think we'll ever be perfect. Actually, more recently, I've kind of come to the realization, I think it's a lot like college basketball recruiting, or maybe like the NBA draft, where it's like, you can do tons of research on these people. You can really like the person. You can do all the tests in the world, all the interviews in the world, but like, you just don't know if someone's going to be, you know, a second round draft pick that turns into like an all-star, you know, Jalen Brunson, or if I don't even know if he was second round, but I know he wasn't expected to be an all-star, or like college recruiting where it's like, hey, a five-star recruit doesn't kind of pan out the way you thought they were going to pan out. And maybe it's someone else. So, or maybe it is that, maybe it's a, you know, number one pick in the draft and they become that guy. We just haven't, you know, it just doesn't always pan out necessarily the way you might think. But we are constantly working at it. We're evolving our process. And I think we're getting closer to it. But that's our number one challenge, I think, with the growth.
And in terms of building a business versus sports in general, I know you brought up some of the comparisons of recruiting or even draft. What have you seen as now you're building a business, comparing it to, you know, as a team in sports? Has it made the transition easier because you sort of, you've never really, there's been no, I mean, at least for me, I never had internships. So I'm assuming the same for you. You really went straight from playing to building your own thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, we had zero experience pretty much. I mean, I was always interested in business and I read tons of business books and I was into real estate for a while, you know, like a lot of like former pro guys get into real estate. Like I thought maybe that was the direction I might go. In college, I, you know, was in a couple clubs. Like I think one was like the Young Entrepreneurs Club or Young Investors. Like I was always interested in it, but like, just like I had no experience. I did not have any internships because I just didn't have time with the basketball piece. And I was so focused on making the NBA. And so it really has just been learned through the process, make mistakes, you know, try something else, figure it out, pivot, and just refine over time. But I think just like our willingness, what sports has done is taught us, you know, grit, taught us that failure is okay. It's really just, you know, you're learning the whole time. And just kind of, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Just keep grinding away, get better, learn from your mistakes. And like you eventually end in the spot, like a pretty good spot if you stick with it.
The club model, you were talking about that a little bit earlier, and I wanted to jump back to that. Even on one of your websites or your blogs or something, you talk about how you're trying to build these European style clubs and that's the future. Yeah, what's the thought process behind that? And really, what are you trying to do? Because AAU has, it has sort of become a negative connotation.
Yeah. So I think some of the main problems with youth basketball today in America, I mean, there's a bunch of them, but I think a lot of them can be boiled down to like, A, basketball is, or competitive basketball is tied to scholastics pretty closely, you know, to your school team, to college, and we're seeing what's happening there. And so it doesn't allow for some of the things you're able to do in Europe, but being tied to scholastics, like the typical AAU season is like, hey, 3 months, come, you know, March, April, May, probably you're off June. If you're in high school, you play in July and then that's it, right? It's like this like small time frame. And so one of the things we've done is say, no, we're going to offer programming year round. And when you commit to us, you're going to commit to basically a whole year. That way you can have the same coach for the whole year. We can have more touch points with the players and really learn about them as a person, learn about their development, where they need help. Because if they're just jumping from team to team, it's going to take some time for that coach or that program to like learn what that kid needs. So what we've done is we've created this year-round model. And then the other piece is like a lot of these teams don't practice. They just travel. They play a ton of games. It's every weekend, you know, playing 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. So there's very little skill development. Our teams, we practice twice a week, an hour and a half each time. We offer training, we offer workouts, we offer clinics, we offer camps in many of our cities. We also hire our coaches too. We try to stay away from the parents. We certainly stay away from parents that don't have any basketball background. Now, if a parent comes to us, for instance, I was just in DC at our tryouts there this past weekend, and there's going to be a parent coach there whose son is going to be on the team, but he is a long time coach. He coached at GW for a long time. So, you know, in that case, it's like, okay, sure, you should coach with us. But otherwise we're hiring our coaches that aren't connected personally to a child where like maybe those feelings kind of get in the way, whether good or bad. So that's another thing we do. We play less games. We don't play every weekend. We'll play every other weekend. So we prioritize skill development over the games. We prioritize skill development over winning. We don't go chase national championships. We're not trophy hunting. We're not going after just the elite kids and like, hey, just doing whatever we can just to get the best, you know, fourth grader in the state into our system or whatever. It's the parents and kids that have to want to commit to the whole year. They want to develop. They got to see the bigger picture. So a lot of that aligns with what they do in Europe with that club system over there. And so we're just trying to do that here. And, you know, I think the timing is right, especially with like what Adam Silver has come out and said over since All-Star. Just that the players are more skilled than ever because they all have trainers, right? They have trainers and then they play games. But like, what about in between the kind of one-on-one training and the five-on-five? What about the two-on-two, the three-on-three, the three-on-zero, the two-on-zero? Like, what about that in-between space of like learning how to play within the team? And that's what Adam Silver was talking about. They're more skilled than ever, but they don't really know how to play in the team system like the Europeans do oftentimes.
One of the best advantages I had, I mean, similar to you growing up, you had your dad, but my AAU coach, he played in Europe, coached in Europe for a long time. So we did, it was all 2-on-2, 3-on-3. Then it was take skill work. And so you do two ball dribbling, you know, different stuff, but then you put cones and you try to replicate it on 1v1. So it's taking what you're learning into then 1v1, 3v3, and eventually 5 versus 5. So it makes sense. And on the business side of things, you talk about a year-long commitment. Is the whole business of PSB mainly around sort of a membership, a recurring yearly model? Is there anything else or what does that look like?
Yeah, exactly. It's a membership model. So a few years back, I mean, frankly, we used to do it very similarly to how the other programs do it. I mean, we had tryouts every season. It was spring, then summer, then fall, then winter. And we slowly realized like, and we were doing the camps and everything was a la carte. Then we, you know, then Amazon got bigger, Apple, like all these companies started doing these membership. And we were like, you know what? We could do the same thing on the basketball side. We could make it more valuable for our kids and our families. Also, it's a better financial model that way. So yeah, it's just a recurring membership. People have an option to pay monthly or they can pay in full up front, but it is, you know, for 8 to 11 months is the membership, depending on the city, because that's another thing with that makes it difficult in the US is the rules are different all over the place. Like Tennessee, for instance, like I think kids 7th grade and up basically can have no affiliation with like club or AAU during the winter season. They can't do any like organized activities there, even if it's just a workout. And then the actual rules of the game, some have shot clocks, some don't. It's just, and then AAU, you can go to tournaments and there's different rules at this tournament versus that tournament in terms of fouls, game length, all that. Where in Europe, it's all the same. So they have a bit of an advantage there.
Do you see any differences in any of the markets within the US? I mean, I know you mentioned some of the differences there, but just from the youth structure or some farther ahead than others, or is it really what everyone says, oh, this city or state is more densely populated so you get more pros, or do you think it is partially development or how things are structured?
Yeah, I mean, the answer is it's kind of weird. It's both. There are certainly differences, but at a high level, it's all the same. Kids jump from team to team. The coaching is pretty bad. Anyone and their brother can start up a team, can start up an organization. There's no certifications, qualifications, licenses. There's nothing that you need to get necessarily. And, you know, USA Basketball and Junior NBA have done a good job at least offering something for coaches to do, but it's not required. And so it is super fragmented. It's really kind of just lawless, no rules at a high level, but city specific, yes, we definitely see some differences, and some markets are kind of more professionalized than others. Like Boston is kind of, I know you went to Boston, but Boston is a market that we look at and it's like, we have not yet broken into it. And part of it is because when I look out there and at these organizations, I do think there are a lot of like pretty dang good organizations out there already. So there are cities like that. There are some cities that are just the craziest. Like just the wildest stuff happens. Like Atlanta is a crazy one. Houston's a pretty crazy one. Frankly, Charlotte's kind of a little bit of a wild one. So there are, you know, markets that, that are a little bit more, more crazy and wild than others.
Yeah.
And it's actually typically a lot of the ones that have some of the best players that come out, like Atlanta, I mean, has athletes upon athletes. Like there are some really good players that, that, that come out of that city. And, you know, I don't know if that's the reason, but it's kind of my theory at this point.
That's interesting. I would have thrown maybe Baltimore in there.
Oh potentially. Yeah, DC and Baltimore and yeah. The DMV area. DMV. Yeah.
Maybe even good parts of Ohio. I would say Columbus maybe probably yes. has a lot because there's some good players that have come out of there. Yeah, that's interesting. And then just in terms of you've been in it now for a decent bit, overall, youth sports, you know, are you seeing shifts in that and even the attitudes of parents and players?
Yeah. You know, it really is interesting because basketball is quite a bit different than some of the other sports. Like some of the other sports, like if you look at soccer, they already have that European style club system going on. Like everything is under USA Soccer. They certify clubs and like basically give them permission to operate or not. Not anyone can just start their own club. So that already kind of has that system. USA Volleyball is actually, or the youth volleyball is kind of that way. As well, whereas again, basketball is a little bit more of the Wild West, but I think there are some similarities in that. I think kids are, and we don't promote specialization, especially at an early age, like, but it does seem like kids are specializing at an earlier age. That's for sure. They're much more willing to play AAU basketball, club basketball, any club sport at an earlier age, which there's good, there's positives and negatives to that. We're well aware of that. So, there are similarities, in terms of that too.
What's next for PSB? Where are you going next? You're going to start building in Europe or at this yeah. pace, who knows?
Yeah. You know what to be honest with you, we've tried a lot of different things because, you know, there's kind of a lot of flashy objects out there or good opportunities. We operated in China for 3 years. Wow. I want to say it was like 2016 to 2019 ish. That's a long story, but yeah, we were there and it was successful, but it wasn't exactly what we expected. I think we never intended to get into the AAU piece, but we realized that's what parents wanted and kids wanted. And we realized we probably could have the greatest impact there, with what we do. But so we have tried a lot of different stuff, but at the end of the day, we kept coming back to like, hey, the club teams is where we're really good. It's what the kids and parents want. I think it's, you know, probably the best model we have, the most sustainable. So lately we've pretty much cut out everything else and just said, hey, we're a club team business. We're going to focus on that. We used to be a summer camp business. That's how we started. We've cut out the summer camps for the most part. I mean, we still run summer camps in some of our cities, but there's other organizations out there that are doing amazing stuff on that level, like PGC, Point Guard College, where we have a partnership with them that we formed recently. Manawatsa is an amazing leader. PGC does awesome stuff. And we're just like, hey, they're really good at that. That's what they're doing. We're really good at the club team stuff. Let's focus on that. Let's get into every major city in the US. And then once we do that, then let's see what we can do from there. We are doing some other things. Like we've done international trips the last 2 summers. We've gone to London, taken kids and teams to London the past 2 summers. This summer, we're going to London and Spain. We've done Guatemala, run some camps down there the last couple summers. So we're going to continue to do that stuff, but that's a benefit or something extra that we can offer our kids and our parents, and they seem to really like it. So we are doing some stuff like that, but for the most part, we're just trying to like really stay focused on the club team stuff and getting into every major city in the US.
Very cool. Yeah. Give us the rundown website, socials, where people can get some more info.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just proskillsbasketball.com. Everything's there. You can click into all of our cities and see our city leaders. We provide resources, blogs. We have a podcast called the Youth Hoops Pod. We have a YouTube page with some videos up there. So we do some educational stuff as well. But yeah, proskillsbasketball.com. And we're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on all the socials as well.
Love it. Brendan, appreciate you coming on, and the U Sports ones, they keep taking off. So how to get a Vassal one, and appreciate you you doing it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Appreciate it, Andrew. And again, really love what you do, and best of luck to you as you keep growing Profluence. Thanks.